And this is called Rear Thought. They're mating fear for you into a fallen ditch, buried warmly, carcass of quiet dreams. Thank you.
You want to have a match?
Lighter number.
No, since someone took the trouble of carving this thing, I guess we should light it. The trick is to have a little air hole in the top. Yeah, but you need a little top vent too there. Third eye isn't. There we go. All right. Well, this light just gave out in time. I think we should forget about it. Let's read 3 or 4 ancient poems that I haven't read for 10 years or so. That are, for that reason, a little ghostly and appropriate to the occasion. I really thought of reading Charles Olson's poem, As the Dead Prey Upon Us, which is really, boy, that's Halloween. But let's see, on the occasion of becoming an echo, the goddess stands in front of her cave, waves me into the drawing, eyes like an afterthought, dotted in green. Gaia, drawn by a 6-year-old, very clear. Many more things in this room. Books, chairs, a bed, at least 2 people. How many more in their dreams? But the signals are garbled, garbled. I mean, he says, who is I? Who is I? Mean well, I want the whole world to love me, not need me at all. The goddess stands in front of her cave, not waving me in, just raising her hands as if to say, well, who's to tell you? Once upon a time, my head says, there was a man, he got very tired. He went to sleep and didn't dream, didn't even sleep, but was gone, out. And out there, all things were clear. The new style Western. The 2 horsemen on opposite banks of the Rio Grande shook their fists, then solemnly turned their knobble-kneed steeds and rode away. They would be back, but not in this movie, which was about the strange and amusing ways prairie dog, owl, and rattler have of living together. Elegy. The laundry basket is still there. Excuse me, it's not. Elegy. The laundry basket lid is still there, though badly chewed up by the cat. But time has devoured the cat entirely. A little sequence of things from Iowa City called Out of This World. Out of This World. It's Kansas, any way you want it. Astonishing complexities. A Volkswagen bus full of greens. Iowa City crickets, September nights, don't have that much to say, but say it and say it and say it. Scribble, scribble, eh, Mr. Pound? Cheyenne, Wyoming, a known town on Mars. Ah, Anna Bloom, sweet ginger muff. Young girls walk, jointed, disjointed, no one to plug them in. Don't let the exoskeletals take them. They are the moon. Let's make it to the rock hole, the spirit children sing, and men and women in their bodies do that thing. Brother immortal jellyfish, brighter than the brightest star. What do you know of wars here on TV? Poetry workshops, pills, the Naga question? Or Dr. Sigmund Freud, the famous hypnotist? There's none could cure you of your ignorance. I mean, that's great. We love you as you are. Here in the upper Devonian Sea, life is quiet. Even the thousands of hogs make but little noise. Dark blur girl rushing past in a car, a lifetime. Where was she going? Hi, late summer. All is forgiven. Ovidius Naso wrote a book. Sir Vincent Wigglesworth created a giant caterpillar. Here, I put them together. You do too. Thales of Miletus loved this humid universe. There are such advantages to walking on two legs and in carrying one's brain in one's head. Let the galaxies ride. Thales, it's been a long time between drinks. Thank you.
Susan Lawler.
Jack-o'-lantern is burning. This is the night now. All the costumes and the parties and all. We're getting ready for tonight. This poem isn't about painting. Do you remember her name? She was younger than you then. She passed you like a comet, eclipsed you with her dreams. She has high cheekbones, ears soft like petal flowers. Would you like to paint her in the nude? Would you like to overflow her with watercolors and semen? She would hang in your gallery. Stretched canvas, Christ on the cross, woman on her pedestal, spread-eagled and shorn. Autograph her, your famous signature, across her ankle bone, across her satin sheets. Donate her to the museum of your choice. with thanks to put her in the attic, burn her in the pile of others like her in the market square, or use her and make a few bucks. Startled birds break from oblivion, disappear into light, blinding distance. Sounds of air moving break the silence of morning. Dawn breeze sets alive golden fingers reaching for clouds. I run, breathless fields of light, soft invisible threads of distance, tripwires. I falter, horizon hidden by blind trust. Struggle to continue. The floods behind me are not as far away. They came and cut down that tree, is the name of this. But when she gets older, she won't be a graceful Main Street oak throwing lace shadows. She won't be a storm gently ebbing, and not the river flowing stronger. Her legs will be spider webs of magenta and thallow, bread dough breasts keeping pendulum time, throat and jaws flapping like unbound sails. Her children will hide her in Kodachrome closets, drowning in lint and clothesline stew, till her neighbor tells her over arthritic coffee that her husband keeps a mistress till Thursdays. Then she'll know she's not a river, or a tree, or a storm gently ebbing. The title of this one is two words, two sentences. A word with a period and a word with a period. And the title is Fee, Male. Throwing her head back, shakes her brave lion mane, waves a slender hand, I see spider webs between her fingers. She tells me I'm a lunatic. She wants to take me to bed, wants to call me a liar, wants to be the better. She's forgotten to walk, strut is how she moves. Vicious angel throws away doubt with practiced shrugs, calls me an asshole because she can't answer my questions, then plays with the hair at the back of my neck. And threatened with broken spider fingers, she finds another playmate. I'm not a witch, you know, and I'm not the bride of Frankenstein. I was giving some thought to what form I want to take after I die. But I was in the beginning, I was thinking of substance and of 5 of the 12 senses, and I wanted to be a cheetah, and that's pretty helpless. And I thought about it, and I want to be one of the living dead. Used to be I'd hear a tree scream when the bulldozers would come. And used to be I'd think about the ants as I'd squat and piss when I was too far away. And once I had a turtle the tractors buried alive. And I screamed when the cat squirmed, they hung from the tree. My brother left me to bleed on the asphalt and forgot to tell someone I bled. I bled when I saw her dead. She had a Band-Aid on this finger. I used to pray to God and ask for things. Used to be when I'd smile, I'd feel happy inside. And before I would inhale and take in air. Now I see darkness and lights and darkness. There is comfort in the shadows. If you touch me, I feel like fog. In my home, there's green and life and sun and warm. But I hear the walls breathe and the floors whisper. Used to be I'd be afraid to be alone. But if you're alone, you're not alone. We are all walking dead. And someone asked tonight, you're so discontent, you've always been discontent, what would it take to make you content? Expecting an answer, overflowing with philosophy, wisdom, and supreme truths. And I smiled. I said, I don't know. And kept on eating. And they shrugged and kept on eating too. Thank you.
Thank you. No. The ring of brains peels like sunbeamed apple, like hum of bee. Drift of sound like bog orchard in mist of light, like wind of bones in martyr darkness. The sound resounds, refracts, and sculpts a sun, refracts the odor of color and cloud, and clouds the color of now and itself. The ringing of mine paints a magician, and poet, and queen, and less name, no less for namelessness. Reverberance of thunder to growth pain of rock, like madness but not, defined by air of reason, mountains shift, imagine themselves, and resound with the ring of brains. My favorite sculptor. The transvestite sings from ringing rubber of barreling oil pigs. Ball two more, ball two more. He/she issues forth, sweet lubricant, from sidewalk pores, masked as street creature sludge. It gentles the acid jolt, an acrid bite of the sculpting power of he/she. Black oil splatters. Concrete pores sucking, crawls in wounds, issue saturated hued men. They grow, the black oil heat men. He/she hammers metal by feet steel belted of barreling oil pigs, of snorting belch elephants, feet still belting. Time, create jewelry perfect. He/she towers modestly, its seedy spirit, in the manner of brick jokes. Gentle he/she. Harsh he/she. Modest he/she. Is hacking lung stones, hacking ball two more, ball two more. This is for Dior, for. Baby! Child of womb! Breathe! Crawl into our electric dancing tomb. It's another poem. String rings, heart lives, dances, shouts, like jazz singer, knows no pain, only birds and jazz. Fool sings the princess, with thousand names, who frames her back in bus window and smiles strange over oceans of dead shrimp. Lure me with silent voice, crisp in air like dawn when trout fishing. Draw me through streets snaked of city, of umber brick in barren dream night. Linger anywhere I pass quickly enough and never tell if she know of birds and jazz. This is one I wrote today. butter. Today, we found a Rambo trout. Whose mind swam a chanting blizzard, whose heart knew the crystal tomb. He arose from the tomb upon our hands. We tore the shroud from frozen carcass, were met with a presence, breath dying in throats. Body rising from tail through eyes to heaven, eyes rising clear to light, calm, the eyes of water Christ. We bathe his wounds, water warm, hear blood rise in tunnels throbbing. We stroked his muscles by broiling heat, burn life through frigid spine. We gnawed his flesh, we drank his wine. And as we sucked from skull his gray coil, the secrets of the screaming blizzard arose, reeled, swarmed in packs, sent us howling to you. We come, excrete his words of light. That's called dinner. And this is called the Earth Hole Catalog. The electron that knows and binds, the magnet at the center of whatever, the gravity that lets go of everything lighter than itself, whips the wind that tickles the gravity with breath. The Earth Hole, its vortex wind in heat, gravity suck, parts to squeeze the muscle that yearns sunward the darkness in mocking gravity like the blood that becomes trees. The muscle of trees, which writhe in stillness, they utter calm, sprout the green cloud that quakes, sprout thunderheads that boil slower than I. Are hit by sunset in autumn before burst fall of air dance rain. The river that eats in the valley of the valley by gravity years, spawn ocean, fish, crawl land, ocean man, dance. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait, I'm coming back. Don't come back. Bill wasn't going to read tonight, but I guess he's changed his mind. So you got to come as well. Moriarty, Magic Bill. I'd like to do two short monologue poems that were written by a friend of mine named Hiram Bean, and I'd like to do them now. Coffee. I love coffee. I feel like I just woke up. I can't believe I'm out of coffee. When I wake up in the morning, I like to make a big pot of coffee, drink about 6 cups before I go to work. Then I'll go down to the 7-Eleven where I got this thing. I put on my handle on my door, I can put my coffee right on the door, drive along. And then I'll get to work, and secretary will make a couple cups of instant coffee, and I'll drink that before the heavy, load of the day. Then I'll break for lunch, have a couple cups of coffee. Come back about 2, we'll break for coffee. But I really like it when I'm coming home on the highway with my thing, and I've got my coffee, and I come home, and my wife, she's got a whole table set out with coffee pots. Nice coffee pots with little things on it. It makes it interesting to drink the coffee. Then maybe we'll go to a movie and drink a little coffee. Usually I'll go to bed, I'll take four Valiums and I'll... Now I want to do another monologue poem called by my friend Harold Dean, called Nightmare.
Oh, good. Hell, that, all that shit, I just want to go to sleep.
Oh, man, all that shit that's going down. I just covers up my head.
Oh, you're, don't hit me, no. Oh, cry like a baby, cry like a baby. Bark like a dog. Oh, bark, 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 bark.
Oh, I think I better go make a couple calls.
We've got three more. Next is Mickey McComas.
A highly relevant quote by one of my favorite people, J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover said this. I regret to say that we of the FBI are powerless to act in cases of oral genital intimacy unless it has in some way obstructed interstate commerce. Okay? Okay? First poem. Often I think I feel your breath on my neck, your beard rubbing my face, your hand cupping my breast. Then the cat leaps on the bed and I wake from an afternoon wet dream. Head for the bathroom to take a cold shower. Sometimes in the kitchen at twilight, I hear your voice laughing deep downstairs in the hallway. Around the corner, out on the street, and I lean against the refrigerator and breathe deeply for 10 minutes. Then go stick my head under an ice-cold stream of water. In the night, when I reach out only to hear angry squalls from my indignant cat because I thought it was you and clutched it to me, I take water out of the ice box, stand in the bathtub, and pour it down my body. If these thoughts of you grow much more constant, I think I'll begin to mildew. All right, you know, well, you can all be dirty, but I think I should have at least one innocent poem for the night. This is my innocent poem. It's called Poem or Prose Cat. It's innocent, believe me. Me and this old white Clyde cat, we lives in a Williamsburg blue room with a paisley couch that turns into a bed at night and 6 drawers built in the wall with a sunken window alcove and a shag rug on the floor, not wall to wall. And we has a 200-year-old doll dish cabinet in the corner with real cut crystal doll teacups and little toy Limoges dishes with real gold leaf, but the top 2 shelves has miniatures on. A laughing ass, we likes that word since Mommy can't stand it. 6 glass horses, a tiny 1800-word dictionary from 1905 that we did give to Phil. A China Siamese cat that Clyde thinks is hot stuff, we know it's because he sprayed on it 2 in a row. A fox terrier made out of real bisque that belonged to great-grandmother Gussie. 2 nutshell dolls that Margaret Utzinger, a Swedish maid that lived down the street, gave us. Daddy's old Zippo lighter that turns me and old Clyde cat on, even if Daddy don't. A pearly blue teddy bear from Occupy Japan that cost just 50 cents. A real wood dachshund sniffing the porcelain skunk's tail. And two tiny glass vases with dried violets in. Yes, sir, me and that old Clyde cat, we is quite proud of all the things we got. And we sits on the hope chest in the alcove by the window, all by ourselves. Okay. Still got four more to go. Calm down. Ode to a man who loved lunch meat. You've got... You've... Matthew. You've got men's room eyes, baby, and balls hard and pendulous with long time yearning for that perfect public bathroom in the sky. Your face is hungry from cruising too many late-night truck stops, and your eyes are wrinkled from squinting into the distance, searching for those perfect young studs who walk in long, slow, soft-ass saunters. You've bought so much KY that your skin is blessed with eternal lubrication. And the manufacturers of that bomb use you in all their testimonials for satisfied customers. Baby, you'll never die. They'll just wipe you up and flush you away someday. Next. The letter said he found a new lover, and I was relieved. Needing someone is a lonely business. That last heartthrob could cut hair, granted. But holding intimate conversations with TV sets and regularly ejaculating all over a very complete collection of Johnny Mathis records is another case entirely. And I said, yes, good, a new lover. Then the letter. The mother wrote the missive. Mine mama, she said. He finally found someone who couldn't talk back. Period, all my love, Mom. P.S. His new lover is a deaf mute. Okay. One anxiety poem for the night. And you ask someone if they want something, and they say no. But later on, as the bar grows emptier, they speak enthusiastic yes. And all of a sudden, you are most desirable, and usually quite drunk, because you are drinking with quiet desperation. You were so sure of being the only unpair left. And you sigh out into the night with the hearty yes men, who you really don't want, but you haven't had it for a long time. And possibly they're better in bed than they look. And maybe they won't sneak out into the dawn. And just maybe, God, this time they'll stay. All right. And this is my poem for Halloween. And I was going to write a title for it, but it got too confusing, so I gave it up. I love eating garlic dill pickles. I like them sliced while washing dishes. I enjoy them quartered while changing the cat litter. I crunch merrily away while taking a shower. I lust for them during intercourse and fulfill myself during after play. Nothing is more sensuous than masticating a fresh young dill pickle. I'm amazed that people haven't realized how versatile a good hard dill pickle can be. I wonder what Romeo and Jules were doing in the kitchen with a naked garlic dill pickle. And I've always been amazed by the men in leather who didn't with the garlic dill pickles, since they used their fists instead. In fact, I wish your cock were a garlic dill pickle. Oral sex would be so much tastier. Spicier, if you know what I mean. Saline solutions always leave me a little cold. Even if garlic dill pickles do look like they have green venereal warts, I really wouldn't mind so much. God knows you brought worse things home. It might be dangerous, though. In my all-consuming passion for large garlic dill pickles, I do tend to bite.
see if I can't get a little atmosphere. Can't. That's all right. A wayfaring man he rode into a village on a midsummer's day, his dappled steed on cobblestone road, tired from miles traveled along the way. The man wore boots and a hat wide-brimmed. Young was he, strong and lean. His long hair did stream behind him and marry so many places he'd been. He rode to the town pub, but soon he spied a fair, comely milking lass. Good day, fair lady, to her he cried. She smiled and curtsied as he rode past. 'Twas a smile that pierced his heart. Thinking of her, to himself he said, my love you'll be, and lovely thou art, and made his way to break his bread. Her eyes as green as emeralds were, skin like the cream she tended, as shining satin was her hair, a look at her no man's heart mended. The wayfaring man at the pub sate and ordered some fine heady stout. He asked of the men who drank there and ate if there was any word of the lass about. Aye, my lord, said one, I knows the wench. She's evil, he cried, I meant no jest. A fair one, 'tis true, as he turned on his bench. If you want to, take your leave now, it's best. I would not believe it of one so fair, said the wayfaring man, so good day. I'll have none of it, he thought, with not a care, and left to see her on his way. He found her and kissed her. She smiled the same smile. She spoke and enchanted him with her way. They walked through the meadows down a while, and under the sky in the grass they lay. His heart in flames, his voice it cried, I've traveled so far to find you, fair child. I'll do anything to make you my bride. She looked in his eyes and nodded and smiled. Said she, if ye be strong and brave and true, in hangman's field rest ye from dusk to dawn. To win my love, this is what you'll do, and if you do, I'll leave with you by next morn. Is that all, my sweet pretty dear? Fear not, I pray you, this I will do. Sleeping under the stars is my usual fare. I would do much more for the love of you. To this she so gently replied, there will be three tests for thee to win, and when you win, I will be your bride. The thought of that gave his heart a spin. The dusk approached with many a kiss, not caring to part, but part he did, and bade farewell to the fair young miss. I'll be loving you, she cried, and ran and hid. For hangman's field he spurred his steed. Arriving there, he lit a fire, ate his bread and drank his mead, dreaming of his heart's desire. He sat against a gnarled old oak, another mug of mead he drank, filled his pipe, began to smoke, and awaited for a childish prank. Thoughts of the lady filled his head, her smile, like an angel's it did seem. How sweet would she look in his bed! He fell to sleep and began a dream. A man awoke him and begged some bread. The smiling wayfarer gave all he had. The man said, I'll have more or you'll be dead. The wayfarer replied, methinks you're mad. The beggar man drew his knife as the wayfarer drew his own good blade. The beggar said, I'll take thine life, and in the grave thou shalt be laid. The wayfarer would nary have all this, and dodging blows of the man, he cut the madman's hand at the wrist. All at once there grew a new hand. Startled, he fought with all his might, and his blade did find the madman's throat. The madman faltered and fell in the night. He seemed to vanish. His image did float. Hast I been a dreamin', thought the wayfarer? Aye, 'tis what it was, not a prank. But still moved on to where moonlight was clearer. To steady himself, some more mead he drank. An old woman came and begged of him some mead. She's meaning no harm, he thought and replied. Yes, have some. Sit, rest your poor weary feet, and drink the health of my dear promised bride. The woman sat down and dropped her staff, took a cup of mead, and said, Thou art kind, my good man. God bless you, and she did laugh. Her cheeks became truly red, he did find. Her nails now grew longer, her face now blood red, her body grew stronger, horns grew on her head. Her staff split thrice at the topmost part. She breathed fire and lunged for the man. He drew his blade again and made for her heart. He slew her and above her took his stand. Never took his eyes from her again and saw her eyes darken, her face whitened again. Her hands became natural, no trace of claw. He lifted to bury her as was the law. But from his arms she vanished too. He stood in awe, could sleep no longer. Gazed upon his steed, knowing not what to do, but for love of the maid he must be stronger. So he lit his pipe, he would wait till the morn, with both eyes wide open now. 'Twill not be long now, he thought, though worn. 'Tis 1 hour more, but it does come slow. The faint light in the sky above cast a gray upon the field in the mist. Someone doth move. He saw his love. He ran to her. She must be kissed. Be it now, he held her close at the near end of dark. She drew from him and laughing ran up the field for sport, for a lark. He chased her about the field he ran, leading him a merry dance. She was a swifter still. He caught her, but his arms grasped air. He saw her stand before the tree and thought he'd catch her there. But too late he saw her change, her feet to roots and branches her hair. Oh God, a witch she'll truly be, he thought before he fled, but paused to hear a cracking, laughing sound. The bough fell down upon his head. She came in the morning to find her love not. His body by the tree it lay. We know and forgot. Go ask my lady. She knoweth not. Alas, alack, and well-a-day.
And last but not least,